Sometimes what we have planned doesn't always work out like we planned it. For example, we might plan to have a wonderful outdoor party, and then it starts to rain. Or we might plan to have a wonderful career in medicine, only to struggle with freshman chemistry. We might have a wonderful plan to go on a vacation and have a lot of fun, only to get sick and miss out on all of the fun. Sometimes what our plans are just don't come to fruition. This happened a couple weeks ago when the youth group was going to Camp Blue Haven out in New Mexico. And as some of you heard, the bus broke down on the way to camp. Not a surprise, right, that it broke down. And we were joking later that Matthew, before we left, we gathered everybody together and we had a prayer and we prayed for the drivers and we prayed for the teenagers and we prayed for camp and we prayed for the parents back home, but he forgot to pray for the bus. That came back to bite us. Turned out that there was a belt that was starting to wear out and then that had caused a hose to get severed. And so we ended up being stranded in Snyder, Texas for about 4 to 5 hours. And our plan was to get to Las Vegas, New Mexico with plenty of time to eat pizza, to swim in the pool, to go to Walmart to get any last minute items, and to have a good night of rest before camp started the next day. But instead, we got there about 12 or 1 o'clock. Nobody had pizza. Nobody swam in the pool. And we didn't have a good night of rest preparing ourselves for camp. And sometimes that's just the way life is. We have these plans, and then it just don't turn out. They don't turn out the way we thought they would. And that can be particularly frustrating when we've made these plans in concert with trying to follow God. So sometimes we step out trying to follow the Lord, following where He is leading, and we expect, our plan is that God is going to bless us along the way, that this is going to be a good thing. And then sometimes that's not what happens. So we make a career move for the sake of the Lord because we think if I change jobs, this will be a better situation for me to serve the Lord. And then it just doesn't work out. We make the decision we're going to give generously with our money because that's what Jesus said to do. He said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so we give generously. And then the next month we have financial problems and we can't even make ends meet. Or we decide we're going to be a better servant because that's what Jesus said, to serve one another. And so we try to minister and serve and launch into ministries at church. And instead of people patting us on the back saying, hey, thank you for being a servant, we hear criticism saying, why are you messing everything up? And whenever we have situations like that, we kind of start to get mad at God. God, I'm trying to follow you. I'm trying to do what you want me to do. And it would seem as if, God, my plan was that you would bless me in this. And my plan isn't coming about. Instead of receiving blessing from you, God, it just seems that I'm receiving frustration and heartache. And if you've ever been in a situation like that where you've stepped out in trying to follow God and you assumed your plan was that everything was going to go great because you're following God and it didn't work out the way you thought it would, you might have something in common with the Apostle Paul. I want you to take your Bible and open it to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. At the end of Acts 15, Paul begins what we call his second missionary journey. So he starts his first missionary journey, and the plan on that journey was to travel through the area that we call Asia Minor or modern-day Turkey and to plant churches at different cities along the way. Well, when he starts his second missionary journey, his first idea is to go back and visit those cities and towns that he planted a church in during his first missionary journey. Well, after he finishes visiting all of those towns, he's not exactly sure where to go next. Now, we have a map here on the screen. I'm going to look at this map with you. He starts over here on your right side in Antioch, and he goes back through this area we call Asia Minor to Derbe, Lystra, and Iconium. Those were cities where he went on his first missionary journey. He goes back to visit the churches there to strengthen them. Well, after Iconium, he's not exactly sure where to go next. His first idea is to go south, down maybe towards Ephesus, towards the southwest area, but he is forbidden to do that from the Lord. So his second idea is to go up north to the area of Bithynia, very at the top of the screen, but it says that the Spirit prevented him, the Spirit of Jesus prevented him from going north. And so he's not exactly sure where to go next. And so he just kind of muddles along until he gets over here to Troas. And in Troas, we learn in Acts chapter 16, he has this vision. It's a vision of a Macedonian man who is saying to Paul, come over here. Come over here to Macedonia and preach the gospel here. And so he concludes that this is where God wants me to go. This is what God is leading me to do. He's not wanting me to go to the south, to the north. He wants me to go west, to Macedonia. That's where God is calling me. And Paul wants to follow God's call. He wants to be obedient to God. And so he does what God wants him to do. I think there was probably some hesitation among Paul's heart about doing this, because after all, to go to Macedonia, you're going to have to go across the sea. Back in that time period, there was a cultural difference between those two areas. This area was considered Asia. The far left side was considered Europe. There was a big cultural difference in that. And I'm sure Paul was a little bit anxious about making this jump over into Macedonia. But he wants to follow God, right? He's an apostle. He wants to follow God. He wants to do what God wants him to do. He's trying to do the right thing. And so he's going to step out and follow the Lord. And I just assume that he's probably thinking, you know, God's going to bless me for this. I'm taking a risk. I'm doing something a little bit scary, but I'm doing it for the sake of the mission of God. God is going to bless me, and everything is going to work out great. This is going to be a happily ever after story. I'm going to be able to write a wonderful book. I made that tough decision to go to Macedonia, and God blessed it so many, many times over. We start reading the rest of the missionary journey, and that's not really the way things work out. His first stop in Macedonia is Philippi. And in Philippi, there is this young lady who has an evil spirit. And so Paul wants to help this young lady out, and so he casts out the evil spirit, but that angers the men who are profiting off of her. And so they stir up everybody in town. They arrest Paul, they beat Paul, and they put him in jail. He ends up leaving in disgrace. His second place that he goes in Macedonia, second main stop, is Thessalonica. And at first, things seem to be going pretty well. He preaches the gospel to the Jews there. But then the Jews get all stirred up. They get so stirred up that they drag out the person who was hosting Paul, named Jason. And then Paul has to leave in the middle of the night just for his own safety and for the safety of those who are hosting him. His third stop is Berea. Berea, things seem to be going pretty well at first because he preaches the gospel and people are real interested in that. But then those Jews from Thessalonica come down to Berea and they stir everybody up down in Berea, and Paul has to leave very quickly from that town. His fourth stop is Athens. And normally we think of his stop in Athens as a really good moment because after all, he gets to preach and debate with the philosophers in the marketplace in Athens. He gives this wonderful sermon that we call the Mars Hill Sermon in Acts 17. But have you ever read the end of that sermon? His sermon is interrupted by people laughing at him. They're ridiculing him because he claims to follow someone who has been raised from the dead. And if you read in his time in Athens, there's really not a lot of converts. Paul never writes a letter to the church in Athens. You want to know why? Probably because there wasn't one. His ministry in Athens was pretty much unsuccessful. And so here is Paul. He's made this risky move to follow the Lord, to go to Macedonia. And how has it paid off for him? Well, he got beaten, got put in jail, got run out of town, and got laughed at. I could see Paul as he gets ready to go to his fifth stop of Corinth saying, God, what were you thinking? I'm following you, doing what you want, and where has that led me? I have not had blessings. I have had curses. People have not received the message well. I've been beaten and laughed at and put in jail. What are you doing, God? just imagine as Paul gets ready to enter into Corinth, he's thinking, this is just going to be the same song, just a different verse. I've been frustrated every step of the way. What's going to be any different about Corinth? And whenever you experience frustration after frustration after frustration after frustration, those frustrations turn into disappointments, and that disappointment turns into fear. Fear that maybe nothing's going to change. Maybe this is just the way it's going to be on this missionary journey, that everywhere I go, I'm going to be resisted by the people that I preach to. Maybe things are never really going to change. And some of you know what that's like, to experience frustration after frustration after frustration in your life, to where those frustrations turn into disappointments, and that disappointment turns into fear because you think, maybe it's never going to change. Maybe I'm never going to get out of this addiction, because every time I try to get out of it, I fall back in. Maybe this job situation, this career that I'm in, is never going to get any better, because every stop that I have, it gets worse. Maybe this marriage is never going to have the kind of fulfillment and happiness that a Christian marriage is supposed to have when you're following the Lord, because every year, it's just frustration after frustration after frustration, and frustrations turn into disappointments, and disappointments turn into fear that maybe things will never change. And whenever you have that fear that maybe things won't ever change, it makes you want to do something desperate. We see this with churches from time to time. Church will start to decline in its numbers, and the leaders start to get anxious, and whatever they try to do, whatever ministries they try to launch, sermons that are preached, outreach events that are planned, it just doesn't seem to change the trend. They just keep declining and declining, and there's less enthusiasm and less enthusiasm, and the leaders get desperate. They have this fear that wells up within them. Maybe this is never going to change. Maybe this is just the way it's always going to be. Maybe we're just going to shrink and shrink until there's nothing left at all. And so they get desperate and they fire the preacher. Or they change their worship style completely. Or they go into debt trying to remodel their building. They do something desperate. Why? Because they're scared. We see this in individual Christians as well. Some situation happens in your life, child becomes rebellious, marriage starts to go into trouble, job, career starts to go downhill, and no matter what we do to try to change that problem, to fix that problem, nothing seems to help. And we start to wonder, maybe this is just the way it's always going to be, and so we do something desperate. Divorce our spouse, quit the church, quit her job, move to a different city, change neighborhoods. Why? Because we're scared. And I know Paul had to have been there as he entered Corinth. In fact, it even says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3, that Paul entered Corinth with fear and trembling. He was scared. Is this just going to be the same thing as I've experienced the past four times? And I wonder if in the back of his mind, he didn't feel that feeling of just wanting to do something desperate, just quitting, saying, God, I'm going back to Antioch. I'm tired of this. Or telling God, I'm not going to preach anymore. Rocks have been thrown at me too often. I'm not preaching anymore. And he goes into Corinth, and things unfold exactly the way they've unfolded in the previous towns. He goes and preaches in the synagogue, goes well for a little while, then the Jews get mad. They start contradicting what he's saying, they start blaspheming Paul, and I know that Paul in his mind had to have been thinking, okay, here it goes again. Is it jail, persecution, or stoning? What's going to happen? I know I'm going to have to leave here in just a couple of days. Here we go. And then in the middle of the night, God comes to Paul, gives him a vision. And the vision has two parts. One part is commands, and one part is promises. The commands are, don't be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. And the promises are, for I'm with you. No one is going to harm you here, because I have many people in this city. And what God is doing in this message is he's giving Paul what I would call the gift of divine assurance. And what's so special about this gift is that God is not telling Paul, Paul, I know you've had some tough times in the past, but everything's going to work out fine from here on out. It's going to be happily ever after from here on out. That's not what God is saying. In fact, if you keep reading the story in Acts 18, the very next thing that happens to Paul is that he's accused, falsely accused, by Jews who then take Paul and he has to go to court, has to stand before the proconsul Gallio. This is not a message to Paul saying, I know it's been hard the past four cities you visited, but from now on it's going to be smooth sailing. That's not the message. The message that God is giving Paul is, Paul, I know it has been tough and it's going to be tough in the future, but keep going. Don't quit. Don't be silent. Keep preaching. You're on the right road. Don't get off of it. There are a few occasions where God does this in Scripture, where he just comes with assurance. I think of Jesus in the garden where God sends an angel. Not to take the cross away, but just to say, keep going. Or I think about when God sends Elijah, those ravens in the desert. There's more ministry to be done for Elijah, but just to say, keep going. Or I think about Jesus at his baptism where God says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. God wasn't saying, I'm going to remove all of the problems that your ministry is going to incur. God was just saying, I love you and keep going. That's what God's telling Paul here. He's saying, Paul, you're on the right road. You're following me. You're being obedient. Keep going. Because I'm with you. I'm with you. Sometimes when the road gets tough, we think that we must have missed a turn somewhere. And so we try to get off the road. And sometimes that is the case. Sometimes God puts frustrating situations in our life because he's trying to get your attention because you're going the wrong way. Sometimes that is the truth. But sometimes the road gets tough, not because we're on the wrong road, but because we're on the right one. And the reason why we're experiencing tough times is simply a sign that we need to dig in and just listen to God a little bit clearer. And that was a situation with Paul. He was on the right road. He didn't make a wrong turn when he went to Macedonia. He was following the Lord. But sometimes when you follow the Lord, it's not going to be smooth sailing. Sometimes following the Lord means you're going to hit a rough patch. And it's in those moments that God comes to us and he gives us divine assurance. And he says, don't quit. Don't give up. Keep going. Because I'm with you. And it could have been that the reason why you are here this morning is because God wanted you to hear that. That maybe you've hit a rough patch and you're even thinking about doing something desperate because you're afraid maybe things will never change. And I want you to hear this morning God telling you, hey, keep going. Stay on the right path. I know it's hard, but stay on the right path because I'm with you. As I was studying this text, I was trying to think of a contemporary example of God giving divine assurance. And what immediately came to my mind was something of a personal nature. And I want to share that with you. if it's okay to be a little personal. Is that all right? We're to be real and authentic, right? Some of you know, about 4 years ago, our family moved into this neighborhood. And we did that intentionally for a number of reasons, but the main reason is because we wanted to extend the ministry of the church. We felt like if we were present in this neighborhood, that the ministry of the church would grow. We'd be present among the people that we're serving. Well, when we made that move, it was right around the time where we needed to make a decision about where to send our kids for school. And we felt like God was, for a variety of reasons, we felt like God was pulling us to send our children to the neighborhood school, Days of Allah Elementary. And so that's what we did. Felt like that's where God was leading, and so that's what we did. And Days of Allah Elementary, as many of you know, it's a school that has its struggles. It's a typical urban public school. Primarily low-income school. It's a Title I school. It's an underperforming school. And we've had our good moments, and we've had our low moments. Urban public schools can often be very disorganized. There can be a lot of turnover of staff, teachers, and children even. Urban public schools can often feel a lot of pressure from the district and state to pass that test. Urban public schools can often just be very difficult to manage, to be a part of. There's many cultural backgrounds in the school that can make relationship building a challenge. Sometimes there are behavioral problems in schools such as that, and there are inexperienced teachers who don't know how to handle that. And we've had our ups and we've had our downs, and we've felt frustration, and that frustration has turned into disappointment, and that disappointment has created fear. But what has been so powerful over the past 4 years is whenever we have felt that, God has come and given divine assurance. And most of the time, it has been through you. Lindsay and I were counting up just the other day how many people from Southside have volunteered at our neighborhood school. And it was about 30. 30 people who have either mentored a fourth grader or read with a first grader, who have helped out with a PTA event, who have gone to career day, who have done something. And through all of that, we have been encouraged. And we've heard God saying, keep going. I'm with you. Now, that's just one small example. But that could be multiplied in many different ways, that we all have moments in our life where we're trying to do the right thing, and yet it's hard. And yet God comes to us. He comes to us through a brother, or he comes to us through a sister. He comes to us through a sermon or a Bible class or an encouragement note or an email or a text message. He comes to us and he says to us, keep going. Don't quit. Don't be silent. Keep preaching the word and being light in this dark world because I'm with you. I'm with you. And if we're going to be a church moved by the mission of God, we're going to have moments like that. We're going to have moments in our ministries as we try to reach out to our neighborhood and community where we feel those moments of frustration and disappointment, and we have feelings of fear. And it's in those moments we need to be reminded of God's divine assurance that he is with us and to not quit. And so this morning, I want to encourage you, if that is where you are, if you need divine assurance this morning, we're going to have a time of prayer and invitation. And our ministers and elders are going to surround the building. In fact, I just want to ask them to go ahead and get into their spots right now. And if you just need to be reminded that God is good and that God is here and that God is with us, we're going to sing a song. Just walk to one of these men and let them pray over you and encourage you this morning. Or if you're ready to be baptized into Christ, we'd love to welcome you into God's family and just come to the front as we sing this song. Let's stand. Let's sing it this time.